Peace and love, family.
You are listening to It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio.
And it's presented like a jewel.
Enriching, encouraging, and engaging our youth.
Here on iHeart Radio.
With influential guests such as
Susan Taylor.
We're a community in crisis, and we have to step up. We have to stand up. We have to speak up. We have to work together.
Jasiri X.
And then because we have Facebook and Twitter and we're able to share this information, the information is getting out there more.
Dr. Julia Hare.
Because we live in a racist society and you can get arrested, black boys, for walking while black, thinking while black, driving while black, and anything you're doing while black.
Dick Gregory.
I can go and tell you why this program you have is so beautiful. That one, truth don't never have to be validated by ignorance.
Exactly.
But ignorance will never validate truth.
This is It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio. Tune in every Friday from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern on www.eam1100 on iHeartRadio.
We here now.
1100atlanta.com.
And so again, I said, you know, what you doing is very important. And a lot of times when you do shows like this, you must have people listen. Get a tape recorder or make the tape available.
Hit us up on the hotline at 404-603-8770.
And now,
Jeff Hodges.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to another edition of It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. I'm your host, Jeff Hodges. You know, where we continue to have those higher infinite power, healing our people type conversation with brilliant black minds. And tonight, we got a real banger for you. We got a special guest host. What's good, Miss Lady? Introduce yourself.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Carrie Michelle. Carrie QTENT, CEO of QT Entertainment.
No doubt, no doubt. We're going to definitely let them know a little bit more about that throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
And in the building, we got a very special guest, you know. It's all about hip-hop, y'all. We getting it in with actress, singer, and songwriter, Mrs. Nyla Vamp. What's good, Miss Lady?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
No doubt. It's definitely a pleasure.
Yeah.
No doubt. We had the opportunity to link up over there at Usher Studio when we was checking out the Mako Girls listening party you hosted.
Yeah.
Definitely digging your style and how you
Thank
was holding
you.
It
Thank
down.
Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. So we had to get you over here on this Bigger Than Hip-Hop. You know?
Definitely, definitely. Yo, it's good, you guys. You can check for me on Instagram at This Is Nyla, THISISNYLA. I am the host of Destination Hip Hop. It comes on Wednesday at midnight on Xfinity Channel 29 in Atlanta.
Indeed. We're here to talk about that and so much more. You got an amazing journey.
Yeah.
You know, in the industry. And it was really cool having my co-host. I said, you know who our guest is tonight? She's like, that's my people. No doubt.
We have met.
Yes. I get around.
So a couple years now.
Yeah.
That's when we was pushing the music.
Man, right.
Right.
That's what I love about Instagram. I was always that person where I met you. I'm like, hey, what's your name? What's your Instagram? And now it's 5, 6 years later. Yeah. And it's crazy to see where people grow and where we all go.
Exactly. And talk about the music. You had an opportunity as an artist to be a singer, doing your thing. You got out there, you know. Share the story about how, you know, you got into the industry and, you know, where it led you to.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was actually first discovered on Facebook.
Right.
So I had a woman who was following me, and she had previously already had an artist that she had got to do with Def Jam. Mm-hmm. And so she had wanted to work with me, and she flew me out to Atlanta, and she invested in me, and she started, you know, taking me to events and networking and stuff. We went as far as her resources to go, and then she just let me fly free, you know. So I just started meeting people, and really it's just all about your presence, how you carry yourself, and trying to take advantage of every opportunity you can on your way up, you know.
No doubt.
Absolutely. So, Nyla, so I know you started with the music.
Right.
So we're still pushing the music, yes? She's going to hurt my feelings today.
I mean, I still make music. I do. I just recorded a song called Fed Up. I think it's dope. I'm really trying to get more into music for film and behind the scenes. I mean, you know, I'm not a little young girl no more. So it's like you got to get focused. And over time, I feel like I'm more of a personality. And I feel like when you're an artist, sometimes you have to get stuck in a box of how you can be and how you represent yourself. So I think that I like to have a little bit more freedom and step back from that as an artist and still be able to do my thing with social media and acting and reality TV and stuff like that.
Okay.
Talk about that freedom. You're over there with Destiny Hip Hop, you know, being a host. Destination Hip Hop. Talk about how you have much freedom in this, you know, how the show is all broken down.
Yes, so I make live videos pretty much just talking about things that I've been through in my life, and a lot of my fans started saying, like, you need to host the show. So I started shaking trees, you know. I said, you know, that's a great idea, I should. So I started reaching out to people, and then someone said, hey, you know, there's this studio down in Lithonia, and they have several different shows, and they're looking for some new hosts, so go down there. So I reached out to them, I came down, and I was supposed to guest host for a show. I didn't even get to host that night, but they're like, look, man, you got the job. So I was like, okay, I'll sure. You know, so I started coming in, and it was funny because it was my first show, and I was so nervous. I didn't know what I was going to talk about. I didn't know what to do, but I was just myself. And then after that, everybody was like, you're so great. That was great. And I was like,
yeah. A natural thing.
Yeah, it was like my first one. Right. And everybody was floored. They're like, that was your first show? And When I hosted it, it just made me feel like this is home. This is where I'm supposed to be. You know, I love it. I love talking to people, learning their story. You know, just help getting it out there because it's inspiring. You never know what people go through on their journey, you know.
Okay, so I have a question. We're doing Destination Hip Hop. What has been your most interesting episode so far?
I mean, they're all a little different. Honestly, when I first came out and was like, hey, I'm doing a hip-hop show on TV, like, people were like, so?
Right.
I was begging people. I had to start with all my friends because nobody wanted to come. You know, I'm like, hey, we're shooting. Please come out. You know, nobody wanted to come. So my first couple guests were some of my friends or people that I met on my way up that was like, hey, I'm going to come out. Shoot, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity. So really, like, it's all... they're all individually different. Like, some shows I have artists come in. Some I have maybe a manager who's managing artists. Or I have a DJ. You know, I tried to get more into the other aspects of hip-hop than more than just the artist. But I do have a game called Two Truths and a Tell. Yeah, so they Two Tells and a Truth.
I don't know if I like this game.
Yeah, where they tell me they tell me three things, and I got to guess which one is the truth. So that could get pretty interesting.
Well, we might have to try that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long you been on the air with it, and how long you been doing hosting for shows and things and events and such?
Well, first I start off like hosting events and doing red carpet stuff like that. As far as doing the show, I've done it a year. You know, for one season, they had a guest before, and so when they allowed me to take over, they said, "Hey, whatever. You know, as long as you stick under the hip hop umbrella, you can have free reign, do what you want."
Okay.
So we're going into my third season. We'll be taping in February. So you know, if you know anybody, you know, hit me up, find me. Definitely. You know, it's a great opportunity. When I saw the first episode, I was blown away. I was like, dang, this is what I'm doing? Oh, snap. I gotta tighten up.
So earlier you said, you know, everybody's doing a hip-hop show. So what about Destination Hip-Hop separates your show from everybody else and what they're doing right now?
I think that my show right now is the only show on television in Atlanta that's like... you know, like everybody's streaming, people are on YouTube or whatever, but my show actually comes on TV, you know, and it comes over 50 mile radius of Atlanta. So a lot of people who've come from like Alabama, once the word started getting out, you know, people like, look, I would love to be on a hip hop show where underground artists are celebrated, you know, and you get a broad audience, you know, it's through Xfinity. So they have a couple million viewers, you know, in the city alone. So I think that's what makes it a great platform. You get to come. You can do a video, so a professional video. You also do a live performance. And then we talk about you. You know, it's not all about just your career, but it's about, you know, who you are as a person and what you're bringing.
Right, right. Let's get back to the music. Describe it, your sound, if you will.
Okay. So I think it took me a while to figure out what my sound would be. But I think I've grown to be more of like a soulful, funk, R&B type of artist. I came out as a rapper. So over time, I always knew I wanted to sing because singing just is just so much more soulful for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like as a rapper, I was stuck in a box of having to rap about my tits or my ass.
Yeah, that's what they want to hear.
Excuse me. But,
what they want to hear. You know. Sad, but yeah.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, you know. So I think that I've learned how to really capture my pain, my story, and to vocalize that. And it's a healing thing for me. Mm-hmm. So that's what I love about it.
Now, do you feel like it's harder to push your music because you're not doing what everybody else is doing as far as like the whole Barbie movement and stuff like that? And your music and what your message is different. So do you think that it's harder for you to push that music because you're not conforming to what's going on right now?
Definitely. I think that that's one of my biggest downfalls is because I don't conform and because I'm not really a puppet and trying to put out what people want. That's what's really stopped me from getting ahead.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not willing to, you know, change with my music and my sound, it's other things I'm not going to be willing to conform to as well. And so sometimes when people are looking for a meal ticket or, you know, mm-hmm. a check, they want somebody that they can control and manipulate.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. That's no doubt. So you've been doing any performance here in Atlanta as you come out?
No, not really. Not really? Not performing. I've really just been trying to get more into the songwriting and stuff like that.
That's where the money at.
No doubt.
Yeah, you know, behind the scenes. Honestly, what people don't tell you is that being an artist is expensive, especially as a woman. And my biggest problem was being ripped off. Mm-hmm. People who are selling you dreams, you know, imagine this. How many people in Atlanta, how many people move here to pursue a career in the entertainment industry? Mm-hmm. So people are hungry. Mm-hmm. So when you get here, there's people that are sharks and they prey on people that they know are trying to do anything that they can to get in the door.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So whether you're talented or not, whether you have money or not, they don't care. They just want to get that check and they'll hustle you for $5.
Yeah.
$5 to you might be small, but that might be the difference between a meal for somebody else.
Absolutely.
So it was just like not being taken seriously. And then it was really hard for me to be able to build a real solid team that was behind me. You know?
That is key.
When they're motivated with the money and the money's not there, then they're not there no more.
Right,
you know? So, So my point was like it's expensive being an artist. You know, if you're really serious about your craft, you want to record, you want to get your music mixed, you want to get it mastered, you want to put money into promotion, getting dressed. I can't just throw my hair in a ponytail and walk out the house. You know, if I did that, people who are investing in me looking at me like, are you crazy? Right, have you lost your mind? Go put a wig on, go put some eyebrows on, something, you know. And all of that stuff costs money.
Absolutely. Especially as a female artist, it's completely different.
Yeah.
You guys got it easy.
Yeah.
Jeans and a white tee. Okay.
Y'all clothes is cheaper, though.
And a couple fake
that?
Chains.
Yeah. The shoes, too. Our shoes are cheaper. I will give you that. Fashion Nova got everybody on lock right now.
Okay. You listen to It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. We're going to take a quick commercial break sitting here with Miss Nyla Vamp, and we'll be right back.
What's up, this is Damian Crazy Legs Hall, co-owner of WWRN Radio. Keep us locked 24/7 and enjoy our classic hip-hop and R&B station.
It ain't over.
Don't touch that dial, baby.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Selena Johnson, and breakfast is over. It's dinner time now, baby. Every Friday, live on iHeartRadio. It's bigger than hip-hop radio.
At you with another slamming hit, illegal in the house with Eric Sermon taking over in the night. You know what I'm saying? He doubled on the solo tip. This is how we gon' do it. We getting busy on this track. Hey, yo, check it. We do like this. Malik obeyed the lawnmower and Crystal obeyed the grass. That's his AMCs. Cause why APC whip illegal cuts that ass. The way that I approach you wouldn't think I was a kid. That's why I took the time out to say that I get busy like Dizzy Gillespie. So suck a stretch your eyes.
your shitty shit. I'm off me. I'm not an ordinary kid. I see your legal shit, G. And with my legal, but they still be pumping your pumpkin. It's up, I like the fucking it, just like a pumpkin. Swinging bow ropes and bucking buck shots. And when you look in the mirror, it be illegal or you're not. So why am I fighting you with face? Stay out my way, cause I'm a young boy on a rampage. I don't play, damn them boys are joking. Their eyes are fools are fat. Check them up rhymes at, and I check my gap. Because I'm always strapped back with a loaded rhyme. And stepping on niggas and getting knocked off. Remainers and bar, way out, cause I ain't having shit. And I ain't a nigga dipping this shit. You got all stuck on my lick, you got me once, he come and play you get off. But if your britches is burned, I call it shut up.
Make me wanna holler, scream like Buster, and get down from you a customer. Cocaine, N-E, double the shit, yo, I'm swift from the flash when I be cracking that black ass. Like this, my style's macadocious and rum shaking, like the bomber clutch you're making. Who can see me, my rap format is cock diesel, when I be rocking with illegal. It smells like tea spirit, but not Nirvana's. It's real hip hop music, like I forget Bambada, so step off, hey, hey. E-R-A-C-K, yo, I'm getting busy, y'all. I'm getting busy on the track, I get spizzy. Eric gets busy on the track, I get spizzy. Eric gets busy on the track, I get spizzy. Eric gets busy on the track.
And we back. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. In the building with me is Destinations Hip Hop's host, Lila Vamp.
Yo, what's going on,
y'all? What's good, Miss Lady?
What's going on?
All right,
oh, thank you.
Gotta get the applause going.
Gotta get that pop. So you said your show been on about a year now, and you're looking to take it to the next level, I'm sure. What do you see? Like, how do you envision your show, like, at the end of the day? Like, what you trying to create over there?
I mean, for me, I really like giving a spotlight to underground artists. You know, they got a different hunger. You know, they got a different drive versus artists that have made it. For me, I would like to get some more veterans on there just to talk about, you know, down the road, you know, decade, two decades later, after you have had your success, you know, that's where I want to get to. For me, you know, so just have a healthy blend of the two, you know. Yeah, but for me, it's definitely a platform. I would like to stay with the show a couple more seasons, but I definitely want to use it as a platform to maybe dive into a show of my own that is more based outside of hip hop, just everyday people, more like Tyra Banks type of
like
deal, you know,
show.
Real empowerment, you know, real empowerment type of stuff, you know.
You talk about empowerment. Talk about that Goddess Gang thing and what you're doing over there.
Goddess Gang.
Get into
gang,
it.
Okay, so yeah, I started this group on Facebook called Goddess Gang. And pretty much it's a group that's like judgment free, you know, it's all black women. And it's pretty much where you could come and you could, yo, take your wig off, put your feet up, you know, and say what's on your mind. Say what's on your mind and nobody can judge you. You know, the second you start to make somebody feel like bad for anything that they say, you'd be removed. But, you know, it's just it's interesting because even when I first created it, it was even hard for me because when you're on social media, you're used to people attacking you. You're used to being defensive. So it was interesting seeing a lot of us have to change the way that we process the comments that are left. You have to realize that somebody's speaking to you, they're being supportive, everybody not being a hater, you know?
Right,
so
exactly.
It's definitely interesting seeing that dynamic, but I love it. Women write me and they say, you know, they're happy, they're thankful for a place like that where they can just be themselves and just say how they feel, you know?
No doubt.
So where did the idea of Goddess Gang come from?
It actually came from a Facebook status.
Okay.
It was a status that I stole. And this girl,
okay.
I wish I knew her name. I would shout her out. But she wrote a status and was like, I pretty much wish it was a group of girls in my area that I can kick with, I can get money with. We could turn, you know, we could turn up, we could get guys, whatever, you know. And so I had pretty much reposted the status and it got like over 100 shares, you know, and it was so many women that pretty much was like, look,
they felt the same.
I want that too. So then that's how we started the group. We started the community like that.
You think social media has ushered in the unification of the black women? There's so much empowerment going on and showing on social media.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a platform and you could do what you want with it. You know, you can use it for unification, and then you could also use it to, you know, cause a diversion or, you know, keep people separated. So I really think it's about what you gear your energy towards, you know. I choose to try to use my platform at least for that, you know. I got a ratchet side, so the people who really follow me, they know I do have another side on social media. If you check out my social media.
Disclaimer.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. You got to, because especially with social media, and everybody wants to put on this life that people think that they're
exactly,
and who they want people to think they are versus being themselves. So
Yeah. It was just really, it was like a sliver of my personality that I started seeing people react to. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's a part of me. It doesn't define my everyday life. People who know me know that that's just a fraction of it. But now it's magnified on social media because that's the stuff that people like. So I kind of just... They taught me to post that kind of stuff. I blame you people out there because you and your rotten minds and the things
we
want to
see
got.
It.
I just say it. You know, I don't care. I'm going to just say it. That's all.
No doubt. Now, you did a little something over there in the acting world. You got yourself some real great exposure, some commercials and a couple of, you know, shows over there on BET. Talk about that and what that's all about for you, as far as where you want to go with that.
Yes. So, you know, I really want to push my career more towards acting because, you know, I'm getting older. I turned 30 this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, my whole life.
You look 18. It don't even matter.
Thank you. Don't correct. Just enough. For me, it's like in Atlanta, I remember when I first was telling people I was coming here, and I was like, I'm moving to Atlanta. It's the black Mecca. It's about to be black Hollywood. And people looked at me like I was crazy. And then here we are 6 years later.
Right.
You know, and
little Hollywood.
Yeah. So if this is what you want to do, all you got to do is just dive in and, you know, do the research, though. Do the research. There's a lot of casting agencies, and you can start off just doing background work. There's no shame in that. Like, I've been on The Game, I've been on, the new thing that they're doing is American Soul, which is, you know, homage to Don Cornelius and his story, so I've done some work on that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the opportunities are endless if you apply yourself, you know? So I think that you could just Google different casting agencies. Some you have to go there in person. Mm-hmm. Some you just submit online, but just get some decent pictures, you know, and just start submitting.
No doubt. I see you got your SAG card, too, in there.
Mm-hmm.
You got your SAG card.
Well, you know what? I did acting when I was younger. When I was a little girl, my mom and my dad put me in classes. So I did, like, Tylenol commercials and Barbie commercials.
Nice.
Crazy story. I auditioned for the role Raven Simone had on The Cosby Show.
Nice.
So, you know, parallel reality, y'all. I'm a superstar. Or I'm crazy and on meds with half my hair cut off.
No. We don't. No.
Now talk about
Raven's better now. It's cool.
Right?
Now.
Talk about your parents. You was definitely raised and you were absolutely cultured. I see you was into a lot of little things that kept you busy as a young lady.
Yeah. Yo, okay. So I am the product of a reverse vasectomy. My dad, when he was with his first wife, they had a vasectomy after they had their children. And so when he met my mom, he was actually 50, y'all.
Mm.
50. And we're talking about in the 80s, getting a reverse vasectomy. The doctors were just taking their money. They didn't expect that to reconnect and pop anything out.
Right. Exactly.
And then my parents had 5 more children. I was the first one out. So, you know, my daddy was born in 1939. So I grew up listening to, like, Johnny Mathis and Frank Sinatra and, you know, old, you know, Horace Silver and, you know, old school stuff like that. I actually didn't even grow up listening to, like, regular. The first hip hop song I heard was Rainy Days by Mary J. Blige.
Wow.
Right. And that was, like, high school. So,
So are all of your other relatives, are they involved in some sort of music or entertainment, or are you the only one?
Oh, man. I have a brother who is a genius. He's a year younger than me, and he is an absolute genius. He's self-taught. He plays the accordion. I mean, anything you could think of. My dad, he played like the saxophone, the flute. My mom sings, so you know, it's just a trait in the family. We all have artistic side. So, but my little brother, he is dope. I always tried to get him to come out to Atlanta, but he got such a chip on his shoulder. He got to do his own thing. So,
gotta do his own thing.
It's like, I don't want to be like y'all.
You can't be the club.
Yeah.
So, at all, with you being a quadruple threat, what would you rather do, more or less?
Right now, I want to ask. I do. I feel like there's longevity in that. You could be 95 and still be acting, you know? And I think that that's just, for me, that's just where it's gone, you know? I wanted to do reality TV. I think that I'll make a great reality star.
Love and Hip Hop?
I've had the opportunity, but I don't really like the effects that it could create. You know, we all know it's, you know, enhanced or embellished, but, you know, sometimes something that starts off as a story can have real effects in your real life. And get into enough trouble on my own without having to create some more drama. You know, so I'm like, let me go with the scripted, because when I just go off on my own script,
exactly. So where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, that's a good question. In 5 years, I see myself having a healthy acting career. I mean, what's the difference between me and a Kerry Washington or a Halle Berry? You know, all you really have to do is just believe in yourself and go for it. And I've been through so much in my life that nobody can tell me that this is not for me, you know? So I'm willing to knock down every wall and conquer every obstacle in order to be successful, because I've sacrificed so much, you know?
Now, you have such an outgoing and a bubbly personality. With this acting career, you see yourself more in a comedic role playing, or how you see yourself?
You know, I think I could do both, you know, but I just don't want to get stuck in that in that role, you know, because I think that I can play that like Tiffany Haddish type. But, you know, I feel like I have more depth and I have more to offer as a character. And I hope to be able to see someone like her be able to evolve as well. And
that's what I was about to
stuck
say
in the yo-yo homegirl.
Right.
I've been casted for something like that before. I was playing a ghetto hairstylist in the lead. One of the leads had ended up not being a part of the project anymore. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, this is my opportunity. This is my chance, y'all. So I go to the guy. I'm like, yo, I really would like to read for the part. And he's like, no. He was like, I'm sorry. You're funny. You're killing this role. Be the ghetto girl. You got that. And I was just like, I have so much more to offer. And he pretty much didn't even think twice. He was like, no, sorry.
Wow.
So with acting, so we talked about the casting calls earlier and being extras. So I know there are good experiences and bad experiences. For everybody that doesn't know, like, it could be a really, really good day on set or it could be a really bad day on set.
Right.
Whether it's hurry up and wait or, you know,
right
there for 22 hours to do one scene, you know.
Right.
So
right.
What has been your best experience and what's been your worst experience?
If I could be honest, my worst experience is my own fault. Was on the set of Love and Hip Hop.
Okay.
And eventually they started shooting scenes where they had served alcohol while we were waiting. And if you've ever been on the set of Love and Hip Hop, the talent takes a long time to get there.
Absolutely.
So they have an open bar. And one day I was drinking and it was for like K Michelle's release party or something. And I was networking, adding people on Instagram. And the lady was like, hey, stop doing that because the talent's coming. You got to put your phone up. But I had already had a little too many shots. So, like, after about 5 minutes, I forgot that she said that.
Right.
So I started doing it again anyways. And so then she kind of just checked me. But because I wasn't in my right mind, I kind of much had an ego and was like, you know, I've got my extra time. It's okay. I've been on 10 of these episodes. Yeah. Okay. So check this out. I was escorted out. And they were like, you can't come back. And so, this is why I was Doris, because the next time I was signed up to be on the show, I went and I signed in and they were doing an open mic and I was going to perform. And this was my first time. I wasn't just walking by with a glass in my hand. I was going to be on stage. They're going to announce me. I had a single and it was my time and I'm signing in. And then as I'm signing in, I hear somebody say my whole government name off to the side. And I'm like,
Right.
You know, and I look and they're like, come here. So I go over to the guy. He's like, no, come out of the building. And I was like, oh, okay. And so he was like, yeah. He said, I'm sorry. You're banned for life. You're not allowed back on set, period, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was a life-changing opportunity for me, you know. That could have been my chance to really get myself out there, you know. But because I, you know, wasn't focused before, I pretty much sabotaged myself unbeknownst to myself down the road. So, you know, I would say that during my journey, alcohol and, you know, recreational activities have kind of hindered me a little bit along the way. So, yeah, that's pretty much my story right now is just about how I've been going through my sobriety.
Yeah, and hold that thought. We're going to get into that. We're going to definitely get into that.
Okay.
It's bigger than hip-hop. You know we got our guest in the building. It's Nala Vamp.
Yeah.
Carrie, tell them about a little something you got popping. Let them know what's going down.
Tomorrow, anybody that's in Atlanta, each and every, well, it used to be first Tuesdays. We just moved it to Saturdays. It took over Saturdays in Magic City. So each and every first Saturday now, I do my artist takeover. It's once a month. It's a nationwide artist takeover. It's the only nationwide showcase in the city. And I like to say that, not to just brag, but to really, like, you have to let artists know that this isn't a pull up at Liquid Lounge type open mic. No shade to Liquid Lounge or the promoters. I like y'all, but it's bigger than that. I partner with different cities. Partner with Chuck T in Columbus. Partner with Hot 100 in Columbus, Charlotte. We just launched Tampa last month, which was amazing. We're gonna launch Jacksonville in February and Houston in February. And then eventually I'll make my way back home to D.C. D.C., I'm coming, but I got to, you know, put these other pieces in place. But it's really about putting talent on the stage, on the world famous Magic City stage. And I don't focus on the Atlanta artists. Sorry, guys. You guys can come. You're more than welcome to come and participate. I'm not saying don't participate. But the market is really to grab these outsider artists that need that platform, that will actually appreciate the platform. Atlanta artists are kind of spoiled a little bit, so you know, it's just kind of like if you live in New York, you don't care about the Statue of Liberty for real because you see it every day.
I
live in DC, I see the White House every day, so I don't really care versus somebody that's actually coming and like, oh my gosh, I gotta go see the White House, the world famous Magic City. I mean, everybody comes here, and that's what they want to do. They want to go to Magic City, they want to get their song played in Magic City, so let alone perform on the stage where people like Future and people like that were made on that stage.
Right.
And so it's really about bringing the value back to that and bringing real talent in to get that exposure and get that networking opportunity.
No doubt. Shout out to our host, Kia Jeffrey. She's not with us tonight. Definitely the plug brought us together.
Definitely.
We're definitely going to do some big things in the future, Kia.
She'll be there tomorrow. You better come.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Now I'm
no
putting
doubt.
The pressure on you. Kia coming.
The pressure is on. You heard it first. Yeah, we're going to give y'all that moment in hip-hop, and we'll be right back.
It's the Legion.
It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio presents A Moment in Hip Hop History with Mocha Brown.
Beginning his career as one of the original hip hop group members of Treacherous Three, Mo D, Special K, and DJ Easy Lee were Treacherous Three. Born Mohandas Deweese, Mo D earned a communications degree before his solo career started. Cool Mo D later went solo in 1986 with a teenage producer named Teddy Riley on the hit Go See the Doctor. In the 80s, Mo D had a long-running feud with LL Cool J, whom D says stole his rapping style. Today, Cool Mo D serves as a mentor to younger artists. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio Salute. Cool Mo D. This is Mocha Brown with your moment in hip hop history. The beat's hitting you just like a home run,
slamming like a slam dunk. I'm saying four of us, three of your homegirls, you know what I'm saying? What you want to speak to Crit? Crit!
All right, and we back. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop in the building with us, our very special guest, Nala Vamp.
Yep.
Host of Destination Hip Hop, actress, singer, writer, songwriter, and all of that. Doing it major here in the ATL. Now, you definitely had an interesting journey, and it's been one that has been of ups and downs. And has definitely affected your life where, you know, you kind of went off into some things that you found some strength afterwards. And you've been a life for a lot of people. Talk about that.
I mean, when I first moved here, it was a life I never experienced before. Mm-hmm. I mean, you asked me how I was raised before. I was sheltered, you know. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a nice neighborhood, but the hood was one street over, mm-hmm. and my parents didn't let us play outside. Right. It was like bubble. You know, my dad was 50, so as you can imagine.
That was a whole nother time at that point.
And so when I came to Atlanta, woo, I was just having a good time. I had investors. It was a party, and you know, when you go to industry events, it's always open bars and stuff like that. And I was having a really, really, really good time. Mm-hmm. But over time, it just stopped being a good time, you know. And it gets to a point where people already are used to me being like turnt and lit. And hey, she's just a wild child. It's just her character. But it's like, no, actually, she's been, you know, partying the last 5 days, and now she's cussing people out because she needs to go sleep and she's having, you know, chemical imbalances you know, it's up and down. And it's like, now, especially with the epidemic of young people who are dying from, like, organ failure, kidney failure, things that you don't see in people that are in, let's say, like, 60, you know, for me, it really allowed me to start being more vocal about getting sober, you know, and about, you know, saying that you can have a good time and you could be yourself. You don't need the drugs and the alcohol. And even if everybody looks like they're having a good time, sometimes it's a whole lot more going on with people out here that need pills and drinks and drugs, you know, in order to make the day to day, you know.
Absolutely. So was that incident with Love and Hip Hop, was that the moment for you where you realized you had to stop, or was it something else that happened?
It should have been. No, there was a whole lot more to come after that. So,
crash and burn.
So what was that moment for you?
The moment that really changed me was when I taped my an episode of Destination Hip Hop. And usually I never see the episodes. We tape them and then it goes off to production and that's it. You know, I don't see it till it airs. So I had one artist in particular. He came out from Alabama and he came and he tapes with me and he did a live video. And everybody was saying how great it was, how wonderful it is. We all had a great time. So the next morning when I woke up, I looked at the video and the first thing I did was I go to the comments. And all the comments are like, who is this drunkard? Who is this drunk person? Get this drunk chick off the camera. What the kind of interview? Like, just a whole lot of, my heart just cracked. And I'm like, what are they talking about? So I watched the feedback. And I literally asked this dude, what's your brand? 5 times. But I just changed the way I said it. I was just like, hey, what's your brand? What's your brand? What is your brand? You know, like, and it was just like,
what am I doing?
And everybody said it was a good interview. Right. And when I saw it, And the first thing I thought was, like, I taped all my episodes like this? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God, why does everybody think this is okay? You know, thank God that when I did see the final cuts that it really wasn't as bad. But from that live video, I just realized I had a really amazing opportunity that I was just flushing down the drain. Here, this young dude came from Alabama, literally with his grandma and his mom and his daddy and his cousin in the car in the mud and rain. They got caught in a ditch and had to push their car out. They came all covered in mud. And here I am, a drunk mess, doing this interview that's now going to be on Atlanta. And we never even got to the root of who he was or what his music was really about or what he was really about, because I could never even get past the superficial part of the interview, you know. So after that, I haven't had a drink since then.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. So getting congratulations, by the way,
thank
on your
you.
Sobriety.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Like 312 days.
And this is the season, and I actually made a post about this, about how important mental health and wellness is, as well as, it's just as important as physical health.
Yeah.
You know, I do training and stuff like that, but at the same time, you know, everybody struggles with something.
Yeah.
So, and they're triggered by things. Right. So how important do you think it is for you to pay attention to triggers that do trigger things like that, like drugs and pills or liquor.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that is something that a lot of people don't even realize mm-hmm. because it's just so common and so readily available. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of days it's within walking distance for people to go and pick up these things. It's not that hard for them to get. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, the key to my sobriety was I first realized I needed help. I was just like, my life is spiraling out of control, and I'm one mess up from, you know, losing everything, mm-hmm. you know. So I got a therapist. I was like, I got health care. Let me check with my mental health and let me see. And I called a couple people, and then I finally got to this last voicemail of this, you know, 10th doctor that nobody picked up. And I'm like, I need help. I'm going through it. I'm in an industry. I'm losing my mind. I'm in this parallel reality where people celebrate my flawed, messed up choices. Yeah. I need help. And when I first started, I tried to stop. Like, I remember I couldn't go 3 days. Mm-hmm. Every week I would come back in and she'd be like, okay, did you quit today? And I was just like, mm-mm. No. Mm-hmm. And I really had to start talking about all the stuff, everything that I've been through. And literally it had been about 6 or 7 months. Before I really had felt like, okay, I think I'm kind of getting to mm-hmm. a good place here where I can try and stop again.
You talk about utilizing therapy was an excellent thing in our community. Mm-hmm. It's something we definitely don't even discuss.
Yeah.
But also what brought about a lot of your opportunities is you utilizing your platform via video logs and sharing your experiences.
Yeah.
And this, what you're sharing now, your sobriety has definitely been, you know, very eye-opening for a lot of people. Talk about that and what your audience has been, you know, experiencing with you on that journey.
For me, it's like, it goes both ways, you know. I struggle with alcohol and cocaine and with Adderall. When I first moved here, one of my investors was pretty much this older white guy, and that was his drug of choice. Mm-hmm. And he gave it to me. He would just give it to me, and it was the good stuff, y'all. It was mm-hmm. the good stuff. And so once you're so naive and green like I was, and then you get into that, it's addictive. I already had addictive personality. So when I start talking about getting over it and, you know, making my videos about it, I had people start writing me mm-hmm. on Facebook, and a lot of young black men in my age, and they were like, I struggle with this too. I need help. What did you do? Please, anything. What, you know, help me. You know, and I have people who have stopped drinking, so, right. or stopped doing those things. So when I say, oh, I'm at nine months sober, you know, they're like, hey, I'm at 8 months sober. Keep going, you know. And I have people who call me, you know, I give them my number. You know, it doesn't have to be about social media, because a part of my sobriety is, you know, encouraging other people to stay mm-hmm. sober as well. So I get my number out. I mean, I have people call me at 3 a.m. and is like, Nyla,
right.
What's up? I'm sorry, but I don't have anybody else to call, and I talk to you. Hey, what's going on? It's okay. We'll get through this. You're good, you know.
Now, why do you think that therapy is so frowned upon in our community? Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a stigma now.
Right,
like people
right.
are just like, I don't need therapy. Like, they think it's a bad thing.
Right.
I think that because a lot of our parents and our grandparents come from that hush-hush, shh, don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then we're also used to, if you're telling the system or the man your issues, they're going to come and take your home apart. Or, mm-hmm. you know, like, we're used to having consequences. We're not used to being comforted and nurtured through our problems. We're right. used to being judged and ridiculed mm-hmm. for it. So it's hard enough to want to open up. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times when you're out here looking for help, it's usually less melanated people who yes. are helping us, true, you know? Yeah. And sometimes they have a hard time seeing things from our perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very lucky the doctor that I have has experience dealing with people of color who have dealt with some of the trauma and some of the things that I've dealt with. But even sometimes, you know, I'm like, I think my therapist needs therapy for some of the things.
Sometimes that'd be the case. Sometimes I do.
Yeah, but I think it's just... And then it makes you accountable. If I say, hey, I'm messed up and I need help, and then someone says, this is the reason why you're messed up, now you have to say, well, I want to make different choices because I want different results.
Exactly.
And sometimes people are not ready to make those mm-hmm. choices. They're not ready to be accountable mm-hmm. for their actions. So it's easier to continue to keep messing up. to them because it's what they've been doing.
Right.
You know? you say about accountability. You talk about fear factor. People don't want to face themselves. They don't want to face the fact that there's something wrong. And admitting it is the beginning portion of the whole healing.
It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't at that space in life where they can look at themselves in the mirror and really look at themselves in the mirror and be able to accept that.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like being able to be so transparent for me is such a blessing because it's not a lot of people that can do the things that I do or say the things that I say and still hold their head high. And I think that that encourages other women or other people who've been through similar situations and say, you know, maybe I can, you know, if I just keep, you know, if I don't give up or if I just keep trying a little bit more, you know, I could be a friend. And people start talking about this stuff in the group, in my group, Goddess Gang. Women talk about some real things in there, and it all started because I started saying stuff that, you know, I started talking about the stuff I've been through where I've been sexually abused or I've, you know, the things that I've struggled with. And they're like, wow, she's crazy. She's telling all this stuff. Well, now I can, but my stuff not that bad.
It makes you comfortable because at that point it's like, okay, well, she's being so transparent and open with us, then why not?
Yeah. And we need it. We need it. It heals. When my grandmother passed away and we were going through her stuff and I found one of her diaries. And I remember reading it and just knowing the pain and the struggle and the hurt that she went through on her own silently and just only had to the freedom in the book. You know, I was like, I don't ever want to be that woman. Ever. No offense, but it's 2018. We don't have to be that woman anymore.
Right.
You know?
So with all of this empowerment and exposing yourself to the world from a healing perspective, is there a book in there?
There is a book. It's called When I'm Not My Alter Ego. I just am stuck because there's some things that I'm still processing, and it's hard to get through.
Right.
It's hard. You know, there's certain things that you don't realize trigger you until you start writing it. And I'm there, but I'm not there. So
you're getting there.
I'm getting there.
Definitely.
But what I've realized is that before it was the focus was on the struggle and the things that I've been through because I hadn't overcome my situation yet, or I didn't look at myself as an overcomer. I still saw myself as a victim or somebody that was struggling. So I think the more that I started to understand why I was going through the things that I was and how it was shaping me as a woman, then it became easier to tell my story because I remember my therapist was telling me, like, you're doing all of this struggling. What do you think this is about? Do you think that this is for a reason? And I'm like, yeah. Because it's when I get on the other side. It's not about all of this, what I sit down and talk to you about every week. The whole point of this hasn't even happened yet. So keep writing the stuff down. And if something happens to me, I give you free authorization to write my biography.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's about the win, and I still, no matter how successful I may appear to be, I still don't feel like I'm quite there yet.
I think that's amazing. It makes you super relatable. I'll definitely commend you for being an empowerment figure for women, for everybody.
Thank you.
And everything that you have going on, because it's needed right now. It's definitely needed.
And I think that there's no special way to do it. For Halloween, I was a hooker. You know, I have a picture. I mean, I posted a picture where, you know, I was dressed with a hooker and had my areolas were visible on Facebook, you know, and I got a little bit of backlash from that. And some people might say, oh, it's you have self-esteem or you just did it for attention or you just did that. But it's like, no, I'm at a place where what I do doesn't really affect, you know, I don't have to make choices and it's going to affect how I'm getting paid right now. Exactly. So it's like I have the freedom to completely be myself and I'm going to choose to do that because everybody cannot. And it's such an empowering feeling and I love it, you know. So you don't have to be a certain type of woman to be a role model and inspire others. You can post your little bathroom pics if you want to. It's not about that, you know, it's about what's in here and it's about the message. So you can be cute, you can have, you know, your short shorts on or whatever. Don't ever allow somebody to think that the way that you dress diminishes you, your value as a person.
Now, with all of this empowering people, I like to start out with that one. That's my word right there, empowering the people.
Yes.
Like, as you know, always giving of ourselves and always being like a healer to the world. Who do you seek refuge from and how do you get your restoration going on?
Right now, my ancestors, God,
my spirit guides, the people that I've met who have passed on to the next phase. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, I really don't have. I have a couple friends. Like, shout out to Misha, Arena, Mary. Yo, you going to Magic City? Check out for my girl Surprise. Hey. You know, but at the end of the day, I really don't have anybody that's checking for me in the morning, saying, "Hey, how you doing? Are you good? Did you eat? Are you sick? Can I help you?" I really don't have that, even though I do that for other people. So I really have to love on myself. I gotta, you know, I gotta do my yoga. I gotta do my meditation. I have to, you know, just love on myself right now. So, you know, that's not always there. Everybody doesn't always have that. So that's why I always try to encourage the people around me, because, you know, a lot of people don't.
Absolutely. I was just about to ask her, does she have a boyfriend, husband, or nothing? She's answering my question.
I got a couple sugar daddies.
Got a little boo, okay.
You know, I'll be hanging out with this one dude I should have stopped dealing with a year ago. No, I'm single. Yo, hit my DMs. I'm open
Slide
for dates.
Slide in the DMs.
I'm a little crazy. Yeah,
give them social media tags. Give them tags.
Nah. But this is Nyla. Anywhere, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, just type in the social network site.com/ This is Nyla, THISISNYLA.
No doubt.
And one more time, let them know when and how they can tune into Destination Hip Hop.
Yes, so right now my show comes on Wednesday at midnight. If you have Xfinity, sorry, it's Xfinity exclusive. But if you have Xfinity, channel 29, Wednesday at midnight. I know, I need to get Xfinity,
I got
too.
Comcast, sorry.
No, it is Comcast.
It is the same, right?
Yeah. I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, you could have been to
See,
that.
You just.
A conglomerate.
We're going to talk when we get off air. Okay. I got this. We're going to find it.
So go ahead, give them the rest.
Oh, yeah. So, check for me. Destination Hip Hop, Wednesday at midnight, channel 29 through Xfinity. Follow my social media. You guys, I have so much in the works that I can't really talk about right now. But, it's a lot of opportunities coming. You don't want to miss it.
Give these people some closing remarks with all that inspiration bubbling out of here.
Okay. Let's do some closing remarks. So, love yourself. Love yourself. You know, you can't rely on anybody else. You can't rely on anybody to be there for you or to love you or to care for you. And it's nobody else's responsibility, ultimately. So you have to put yourself first. And just like you would care for your friend or your man, and, you know, you want to see if he's doing well, if he ate. Sometimes we don't take that same energy into ourselves. You know, we ready to check on if someone else ate or somebody else slept or got their rest. But we don't do that for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So maybe take one day out this week and put that energy on yourself. Love yourself. Go get that massage. Get that pedicure.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah.
So I want to thank y'all listening live in the archive with our special guest here, Miss Nyla Vamp.
Thank
y'all
you.
Y'all check
thank
her
you.
Out. Also, big shout out to my special co-host today, Miss Carrie in
thank
the building.
Thank you for having me.
No doubt. Give them social tags over there.
At Carrie QTENT, that's with a C, not a K. And you can follow my promo page at QT Entertainment. Tomorrow, Magic City. You know I got to do my service.
No doubt.
Tomorrow, Magic City, Hustlers Only, the artist showcase. You guys come out. It's really, really dope. We've been doing this for almost a year and a half now. It's going to be amazing. It's free all day, 3 to 9 p.m. And then also, I forgot to mention, tomorrow I'll be hosting a power panel. It's called Movie for a Cause. It's going to be at South Lake. AMC Theater. This is our second one.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're going to have brunch. It's powered by the Power Panel. I'm the official spokesperson host for the Power Panel, and we focus on domestic violence awareness and human sex trafficking.
That's so nice.
We're going to...
That's dope.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
It's going to be a dope time. So if you guys want to see a movie and brunch and enjoy the panel, pull up to South Lake AMC tomorrow.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah.
Also, stay tuned for that exclusive David Banner joint. We gonna give it to y'all soon. We just holding on to it.
Teasing.
We gonna drop that though. Get y'all them jewels. You know the Banner definitely keeps them jewels popping. So until next time, family, peace and love.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Kit Kat Club is proud to present something new, something different. would you please give a warm welcome for the rhythm, rhythm, rhythm.
Well, I came here for something funky to happen. Is this Christmas? Because everybody's rapping. Prepare to get sparked by the song that I sing. No, my name ain't Martin Luther, but I'm considered the king. Yo, my beats pumped by the mic I clamp. I don't need an amplifier. My brain is the amp. I got the beat to make you tingle. Make your body mingle. Like you got the fever for the flavor of a Pringle. We gotta say not so. I'm just like Picasso, a pioneer. I am here. Ask me how I got so fly. And this answer I can give them, a new beginning, Stevie-O, and my dope rhythm. I serve the Lord Master to give a mental harm. My soul chief belief is that it's wrong. My beats pump, so let it grab ya. I got a trick, but my name ain't Alibaba. So open sesame, never heard the best of me. Bet you all the people in the place, I bet you the rest to see that it's a new beginning. My name, Kwame. And if you didn't know, I can tell you that I'm a Malibu brother, slicker than oil. Rap gets so hot, it makes the spit boil. The rhythm, rhythm, rhythm. Rapper, the K is more, rhymes like the thunderbolts of the mighty Thor. Be gone with yourself, cause I conquer, boy. I break them C's like a Tonka toy. Smooth, suave, sour, fair, debonair. Come in the party, yeah, I seen you stop and stare to hear the man who only had your head shook. You dressed GQ, to me you got the toad ass look.
Peace and love, family.
You are listening to It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio.
And it's presented like a jewel.
Enriching, encouraging, and engaging our youth. Here on iHeart Radio. With influential guests such as Susan Taylor.
We're a community in crisis. And we have to step up. We have to stand up. We have to speak up. We have to work together.
Jasiri X.
And then because we have Facebook and Twitter and we're able to share this information, the information is getting out there more.
Dr. Julia Hare.
Because we live in a racist society and you can get arrested, black boys, for walking while black, thinking while black, driving while black, and anything you're doing while black.
Dick Gregory.
I can go and tell you why this program you have is so beautiful. That one, truth don't never have to be validated by ignorance.
Exactly.
But ignorance will never validate truth.
This is It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio. Tune in every Friday from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern on WWWEAM 1100 on iHeartRadio.
We hear now.
1100Atlanta.com.
And so again, I said, you know, what you're doing is very important. And a lot of times when you do shows like this, you must have people listen. Get a tape recorder or make the tape available.
Hit us up on the hotline at 404-603-8770.